children, even though they hadn't eaten. And even when they have eaten, generally I try to bring something because they get grumpy in the grocery store no matter what. All I needed was hamburger buns. So I went in to the grocery store. I went to the exact wrong spot, just as you would expect I would, and I looked, okay, they're not there. And so I sort of went around the corner. They're on the exact opposite side of the store, so I started wheeling the stroller over that way. And as we were starting to go, you could sort of start to hear a rumble in front of me from the stroller of things brewing that might explode in not too long of a time. So when I got to the hamburger buns, there were two types of wheat buns that I was looking at. So, of course, I got paralyzed by the comparison, and I had to look at, okay, this is this price, that's this price, this has six, this has eight, this is this nutritional. So I'm going back and forth on all of these different factors, trying to figure out which one is the best to buy. Meanwhile, the noise is growing. I'm feeling panicky. So I just grab one, probably the wrong one. I throw it into the stroller, and I zoom over to the checkout line. There's one person ahead of me. As I'm going, this noise is getting louder and louder of whining and of fussing. People are starting to look at me, and at first, I sort of look back and I smile because it's cute. They're cute kids. But by the time I get there, I'm just trying to avoid eye contact with everyone who's looking at me. So we get into line, and we're waiting for this person who's just trying to have a nice, tranquil time checking out, and we're ruining it with this obnoxious noise that we're making. The person in front of me is finishing up. The noise is growing louder. I can see the manager considering calling security on me because of the noise we're making, and I panic. I think, I gotta get some food to shove in these kids' faces. So I look at what is available at the checkout counter. M&Ms are too messy for Roland. Skittles, he'll choke on those. Gum, they both choke. So I'm looking at all of these different things, trying to think what would be the best option for my kids. What is going to be the healthiest thing that as a good parent I could possibly get for my children? And the winner was pizzeria pretzel combos. This is the best option there at the checkout line. So I grabbed these, I opened them, I started shoving them in my children's mouths to get them to hush up. You can imagine how much lunch the boys ate when we got home by the time we got there. It wasn't that much because I've been feeding them these the whole time. And after I preached this in Perry, someone came up to me afterwards and said, "Why didn't you just give them one of the hamburger buns?" Probably would have worked. The last mistake I made was assuming that combos would be the cleanest option in the stroller, but apparently a 10-month-old can also make a mess of combos, so I still have some on my stroller if you'd like some. They're still sort of stuck there somehow. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for your provision towards us, your love towards us, your offer of new life that you give to us day after day. We come looking for you today. That's why we're here. We pray that we would find you, and that even as we have come hungering for you, we would leave in one sense filled because we've met with you, but in another sense even hungrier for you and your righteousness. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this week we're picking back up where we left off 2 weeks ago before the VBS celebration, picking back up in the Beatitudes with Jesus' words, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And we're going to sort of take that and put it side by side with the passage that Nick read earlier from Isaiah 55. In the Isaiah passage, God is preparing to free Israel from their captivity in Babylon. They'd been there for a couple of generations, and now he's getting them ready to lead them back to their homeland. But apparently, not all of the Israelites were in favor of returning. This happens quite often when slaves are freed. The new life of freedom seems scary, and it's easy to prefer the familiar life of slavery. So God in this passage is inviting Israel to a new life, a new option, a new chance, a new relationship with God in freedom. And he speaks of it in terms, in this language, in this imagery of food. So he says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare." There's this new option. It's an invitation to a new life that echoes down powerfully to our own day. And in particular, I'm interested with the question God asks. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? It's technically a rhetorical question, which means we're not meant to answer it, but we're going to try to answer it today anyways. Why do we spend our lives chasing things that don't satisfy? Why do we spend so much time and energy and money on things that don't give life? To borrow God's imagery from Isaiah, why are we spending ourselves on cheapo, gross junk food that leaves us unsatisfied and maybe with a stomach ache, when we could be getting the real food that God is offering, the bread and the milk and the wine and the water that nourishes and satisfies us? Why are we living a half-life when we could be living fully? So I'm going to try to answer this with you today, and I think that there are at least five reasons why we do this, why we spend ourselves on junk food rather than real food. First, junk food is yummy. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor your favorite type of junk food. We already know Pastor Mark's is donuts. What is your favorite kind of junk food? So, my favorite kind of junk food is cheesy Chex Mix. And now there are two kinds of cheesy Chex Mix. There is the Chex Mix brand, which is like General Mills or something like that. And then there is the Quaker brand of cheesy Chex Mix. And that is the best Chex Mix you could possibly get because it has those little oatmeal squares in it that are just slightly sweet and they've got the cheddar. It is perfect. That is the best. That is the best junk food out there. If we're going to try to answer why we choose an unsatisfying life, we need to be honest that it's because these habits, these addictions, these pursuits, these ways of life that we fall into, they feel good. There was a comfort for the Israelites in their captivity, privileges and securities that they couldn't have in the homeland. That's why they wanted to stay. For those struggling with addictions to drugs, it feels good to use. There's a sort of relief there when you do it. For those with anger issues, it feels good to lash out. We have a strange pleasure in holding a grudge or in putting someone else down to prop ourselves up. It's no use pretending. Sin can feel good. That's why we do it. That junk food is yummy. It's the high that keeps us coming back. It's what's so addicting. But there is something better. The flavors of junk food are addicting, but in the end they are shallow, cheap, and simple. Most of our junk food is just a theme and variation on high fructose corn syrup and sodium. It explores about this much of the potential flavor spectrum that's out there. But real food is full of strange and deep and unexpected flavors and textures. Junk food is simple. Real food is complex. Junk food is predictable. Real food is surprising. And while junk food might seem yummy if that's sort of all you've known, once you've gotten used to and you've gotten a taste for real food, you pretty quickly realize that junk food wasn't really all that good after all, or at least maybe only in very small doses. It's the difference between a Burger King patty slapped with American cheese between two pieces of slimy white bread and a seasoned steak grilled to perfection and served hot with a side of homemade mashed potatoes. It makes you scratch your head and wonder if they're actually from the same animal. That these two different kinds of food, the beef burger doesn't look quite so good after you've seen the real thing. Righteousness is an acquired taste. Sin might be yummy, it might feel good, but it's really just a cheap imitation of something that is far better, something far more real. All sin, it turns out, is just something good that has been bent and sort of twisted into something not nearly as good and probably harmful. But God is inviting us to a better feast. To real food, to righteousness, which just mean a life that is fully set to rights again by God. And so God asks, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. The richest of fare, the best kinds of food. Junk food is yummy, sin feels good, but ultimately, it's just a knockoff of something that's far better. So my first challenge for you today, when you are tempted to sin, whatever your particular sin is, remind yourself, this is just a fake version of something out there that is far better. there is something way better and way more nutritious and deep and complex than this paltry thing called sin. The second reason we spend money on what is not food is that junk food is everywhere. The last church I was at up in Rochester, they had a ministry where they were doing a hydroponics project in the city of Rochester, where you're growing fresh vegetables in the city, sort of without soil. It's a way of trying to get some nutrition into the city, because in Rochester there is what's called a food desert. Even though it's highly populated, you can live in the city and be many blocks away from the nearest grocery store. And if you don't have any way to get to the grocery store those many blocks away, then you're stuck with convenience stores and gas stores and the food they sell there, which is usually beer and junk food like candy and chips and pop and things like that. So there's a food desert in the city of Rochester because junk food is so prevalent and so available, but real food is so hard to find. It's easy to default for us to junk food because it's always within reach, no matter where we are, while real food is difficult to find. In the same way, the unsatisfying life of brokenness is very easy to find. It's just a few mouse clicks away. It's a harmless slip of the tongue about that other person. It's easy to consume yourself with work so that you don't have to deal with the hard realities of a family. These are examples of this unsatisfying life. You sort of have to color in the picture for yourself because you know yourself. For some, it will be the blatant sins of substance abuse and marital infidelity and cheating and stealing. For others, it will be the more subtle sins of resentment and manipulation, overeating, vanity, chasing money, avoiding duties. But for all of those sins, no matter what they are, they're easy to find and they're easy to do because they're everywhere. But in this marketplace of sins that are all calling out to us, all offering happiness and fulfillment, God's voice is also ringing out. That's the image of Isaiah 55 that we heard. The first word in the passage, our NIV translation has, come. Come, all you who are thirsty. But that's not actually a perfectly accurate translation. The Hebrew word there is ho, which when translated literally means ho. It is, it's a call. It's God calling in the marketplace. Ho, listen to me. Pay attention to me. And he's trying to get your attention amidst all of these other vendors that are selling other things. He's a marketplace vendor trying to get us to come and to get his food and his real water and his nutritious milk. Our world is a marketplace of junk food which promises to quench our thirst for love and fill our bellies with meaning. But amidst all of the voices offering false solutions, God's voice is calling out, ho, all you who are thirsty, pay attention to me. Come to the waters. No money? Don't worry about it. Come anyway. Eat and drink the food of righteousness. Come and find real relationship. Come and find my undying love. Junk food is easy to find, but real food is calling out to us also, and it's worth searching for. Offers for false life are everywhere, but real life is here in God's offer of friendship. So your second challenge, when you are tempted to sin, when you're on the cusp of it, and you know that it's coming, take 5 seconds to pause and to listen for God's voice calling out, ho, listen to me, I have something far better and cheaper, free even, that is available for you. So why do we spend ourselves on things that can't help us? First, junk food is yummy. Second, it's easy to find. Third, junk food is cheap. One of the reasons we're so drawn to unhealthy foods is because a lot of times we feel like we've gotten a great deal because it's so stinking cheap to buy this stuff, right? You used to be able to go to Burger King. I don't think you can do this anymore. And you'd buy your burger and fries for $4.30 or something, and they'd say, for an even $5, you can add in this 6-piece chicken nugget or something like that. So it makes you feel like you're getting this great deal, but you are ultimately spending money that you didn't need to spend to get sort of gross food. It's the trick of advertising to get you to spend your money and then to walk away and say, man, I got a steal on this thing. Sin is also often cheap. It's easy to get a cheap thrill online, and it's not really hurting anyone, right? So we're getting away with it. There's an excitement in feeling like we're getting away with something. It's exciting to spend money we don't have. It's thrilling to pass on a juicy bit of gossip and not get caught with it. But of course, there's always a hidden cost. The cost always adds up, and it is always a cost on our relationships. Broken friendships, siblings who don't talk to each other anymore, spouses who grow distant, children who long for parents to love them, and distance from a God who loves us, but who we're pushing away because we won't let him near this sin that we're trying to hide from him. Sin is cheap. It seems like we're getting away with a great deal, and it's exciting until it all comes crashing down. And in the midst of that mess, God is still there, and he's still offering not cheap junk food, but free life-giving water, free wholesome bread, a free gift. In our pride, we would rather feel like we've gotten away with something, that we have been very clever in getting away with this and not getting caught. But Christ calls us, God calls us to humility, to allow ourselves not to get away with something, but to accept a free gift, a free offer to us. God says, "Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways." What he's saying there is, you don't know how to forgive. I do. You don't know how to have mercy. I do. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, but I am a forgiving and a merciful God. So my third challenge to you, consider your sins, the things that you think you're getting away with, and consider the hidden cost to those sins. Maybe you've already felt some of that cost. Maybe it hasn't caught up with you yet. But once you know the cost of your sin, then turn to God, who offers bread and water without cost to us. The fourth reason we choose junk food life over real food life is that junk food is familiar. You might remember when Moses was leading Israel out of Egypt, the first time they bumped into hardship, everyone started saying, "Oh, we want to go back. They had meat there in Egypt, and we're stuck with all this bread." Something similar is happening here in Isaiah. People are not interested in leaving because there are certain comforts in the captivity of Israel. This is part of the psychology of slavery. Martin Luther King Jr. writes, "The great tragedy of physical slavery was that it led to mental slavery." I know a couple of people who are working to free modern-day slaves right now in our own day, and they run into the same issue. Slaves have trouble imagining a new future. The life of slavery, as horrendous as it might have been, was familiar, and there was a comfort in that familiar thing. We gravitate towards junk food because it is familiar. We know what to expect, even if it's not very good for us. It's predictable. A Dorito is always a Dorito. We gravitate towards sin because even if it's ruining our lives, even if we know that it's ruining our lives, it's comfortable. It's familiar. And even though we might want freedom from it, we don't want it enough to leave the comfort from that sin. So at the end of a long day, or if we're going through a difficult time, we will naturally default to what is familiar and what is comfortable. Against this, a life made right with God often looks dangerous and uncomfortable because it means leaving behind that security blanket of drink or of resentment or of overworking. It is stepping out from that familiar sin into an unknown world. It's a step that takes bravery and boldness, or to say it another way, it is a step that takes faith. Moving from junk food to real food means trust that the one who is throwing the feast knows how to cook. Moving from comfortable sins into the unknown life with God means being brave enough to trust that the comfort that he will give is far greater than the comfort that we can find in this junk food. True comfort is not just hiding from the troubles of life to make them disappear. It is boldly standing to confront them, living rightly, and finding God's comfort in the midst of all of that. So my fourth challenge, ask yourself, what is my default when I have a bad day? What am I looking for comfort in? Do I find comfort in something that is ultimately wasting and tearing down my life? Or am I finding God's true life-giving comfort that is the ultimate and true comfort and peace? And then finally, we spend money on junk food that does not satisfy because it's immediate, where real food often takes time. We work endlessly for trinkets and quick fixes that don't satisfy because they give an immediate relief to our boredom and meaninglessness, whereas God's new life develops over a lifetime. These combos that I bought were yummy, they were easy to find, they were cheap, they were familiar and in a stressful situation, but most importantly, they were immediate. I got them right then and could shove them in my kids' faces right away. They did the job. I don't need to convince you that we are a culture that expects everything instantly. If I hop online, I expect the web page to instantly boot up and I can go right to Amazon and buy something and it will ship within a couple of hours, it will be on my doorstep within a couple of days. In certain places in the world, it will be on my doorstep via drone in a couple of minutes. We are a culture that loves everything instantly. Our cravings are strong but short-lived, so we have to fulfill them immediately. We have no patience for the right time. We have no patience for the right situation. We have no patience for any solution that doesn't have immediate effect. The meaningless things we chase in our lives give us that immediate gratification. Even though it might be short-lasting gratification, it's enough to keep us coming back for more. In contrast to the promise of immediate gratification, God in our passage also offers a promise. He promises, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God does not promise a quick fix for our antsy cravings. He promises to make us flourish, gently and nurtured and cared for by Him. He does not promise immediate results. He promises faithfulness, His personal care for us in the long haul. He does not promise to instantly make us feel better. He promises over time to actually make us better. He does not promise junk food to satisfy our munchies. He promises real food that will nourish and sustain us. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? We know these things that we're chasing don't satisfy us, yet we do it anyways. And all of this adds up to having everything that we crave and nothing that we need. Having everything we want but completely unsatisfied. Being alive but not really living. Being over full but empty. Having filled every desire but being filled with regret. Being overstuffed yet undernourished. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. The result of all our restless wanderings is that we are too full of junk food to crave righteousness. We have no space left for it. At the slightest craving, at the slightest feeling of being discontent or bored, we stuff ourselves with junk food to make that craving, to make that feeling go away. And so we are never hungry, but we are never satisfied. We have forgotten how to hunger and thirst for righteousness because we have so overstuffed ourselves with other meaningless things. We've forgotten how to crave true life and real love because we have filled ourselves up on fake versions of life and distorted versions of love. Why do we spend money on what is not bread and labor for what does not satisfy? Why do we work so hard and spend our lives doing things that don't matter, that are harmful rather than beneficial? Why do we choose sin over righteousness? Why do we choose habits over the love of God? You all know your habits, your sins, your wanderings, those old ways of life that you go back to again and again. You know your own junk food. And so my final challenge for you this week is this. When the temptation arises to go back to that thing, to reach for that junk food, to fill yourself up, remember, it looks good, but there's something more real and better. It's easy to grab at, but there's something better that's worth finding. It seems cheap, but there's something that's free and better. It's comfortable, but there's something that brings true and better comfort. It's immediate, but there is something better worth waiting for. And that something better is the real life that God offers. But it's only available to those who crave it. That's the one stipulation. It is water that can only be tasted by the thirsty. It is bread that can only be eaten by the hungry. If we fill ourselves up too quickly, trying to find meaning and comfort in jobs and status and sex and money, then we will be too full to crave righteousness. But to those of you who are thirsty enough to drink and hungry enough to eat, God promises freedom. You will go out in joy, leaving that slavery. You will go out in joy. You will be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you. All of the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush, that sign of the fall and of sin in our world and in our lives, instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Becca's going to come up. We are going to sing a song, and it's a time for you to reflect on what is your junk food that you go back to, and to reflect on what is the better thing, what is the better life that God is offering to us. So I encourage you to reflect on that as we sing. Skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other. My soul is satisfied in him alone.
As summer flowers, we fade and die.
I will not boast in wealth or might, or human wisdom's fleeting light, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in him no other.